This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
I've been preparing for this all my life.
Here's Porter on Harden, taking him to school.
What a great play by Jayshon Tate.
KJ Martin climbed Boban Mountain.
Team on at 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
And you've seen tonight that we fought together, we stayed together, and it's about damn time, man.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, the best and only daily podcast covering your Houston Rockets. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and partner at Apollo Media. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, as well as at Apollo HOU. Back from a brief hiatus dealing with some, you know, personal stuff, nothing major, but we're back and we're back doing our regular off-season scheduled programming. 3 days a week. We got a good show lined up for you today. We got another one with a very special guest dropping Thursday, and then Ali Kambijani will be back for a film breakdown for our Friday episode. So still three of them coming out this week, just a bit of a hiatus at the start of this one. Had to step away from some social media, a whole lot, but we're back and that's what matters. So want to take a moment to dive into who we think on the Houston Rockets this season is going to be in play for a season award of sorts. And I'll get there in just a second, but I do want to start off by saying that last Friday we found out that Armani Brooks was going to be given an Exhibit 10 deal by the Houston Rockets. An Exhibit 10 deal basically just being a training camp deal. So the Houston Rockets gave Exhibit 10 deals to Dacian Nix as well as Tyler Bay already. They have Matthew Hurt on a two-way deal. They were reportedly giving or reported to give Armani Brooks an Exhibit 10 deal as well, or again, training camp deal. And now, as most recently as of yesterday, we found out that the Rockets are going to be giving Anthony Lamb an Exhibit 10 deal as well. So that officially rounds out, and these reports by Jonathan Fagan of the Houston Chronicle, got to give proper attribution. So this officially kind of rounds out the Rockets' 20-man training camp roster. We already discussed this a little bit, and it was pretty much set in stone that that was going to be the 20-man official training camp roster. And I definitely want to spend a little bit of time down the line in a future episode to go over, you know, exactly what the likes of Anthony Lamb and or Armani Brooks would need to do to carve out a final spot for themselves. Because again, I was pretty upfront about the fact that I would be surprised if another team didn't want to take a chance on one of those two guys. And again, there's still one two-way slot still open with Matthew Hurt occupying one of them. So which one of those guys is going to take that two-way slot? Which one of those guys might be offered a contract by another team or a chance at the end of a bench on another team, that kind of thing, right? So we're going to dive into that in a future episode, but just wanted to cover the bases there that it is now officially locked in that will be the Houston Rockets 20-man training camp roster. So those five names, as well as the 15-man roster that is already set in stone with official NBA level contracts. Now that we got that cleared up and out of the way, what I want to get into today is which Houston Rockets players are going to be, you know, vying for season awards in this upcoming 2021-2022 NBA campaign. And there's a few that jump out off the top of my head that make a lot of sense. And the first one, and this is going to be the one that is the easiest one, it's going to be the forefront of everybody's mind, it's probably going to be the one that we're championing throughout the NBA season. And that's going to be the Rookie of the Year award for Jalen Green. That's the one that is the foremost, probably most important award for anybody on the roster. Is Jalen Green is going to be going toe-to-toe with the likes of Cade Cunningham to try and win this award. And I don't think Evan Mobley is going to be in play for this award because he's going to be a first-year big man. He's not going to be putting up nearly the numbers that you're probably going to be expecting from Cade Cunningham, from Jalen Green. I think Jalen Suggs could very easily make a play for Rookie of the Year. He's going to be able to, you know, have the ball in his hands a lot in Orlando. He's going to be kind of their lead guard, orchestrating things down there. Absolutely. past that, I mean, of the other top prospects, Scotty Barnes isn't going to have the minutes or the reps to really make a push for Rookie of the Year, I don't think. And then you just go a little bit further down the line, and yeah, there's some really other, you know, talented names that came out of this draft. Davion Mitchell, Jonathan Kuminga, Moses Moody. I mean, you know, you can just keep going down, and there's a bunch of different guys, but ultimately I think that in my head, the way that I have the Rookie of the Year race kind of painted right now is it's going to be, for the most part, probably a three-man race between those three guys in Cade Cunningham, Jalen Green, and Jalen Suggs. And again, that's not to besmirch the name of Evan Mobley, who I was once so fond of. I'm not that far off the Evan Mobley reservation. It's not the case. It's just, it would be really, really hard for him to put up the numbers to compete with guys like Cade and the Jalen. There we go. Anyways, with Green and Suggs. And so that's kind of why I'm less so in his camp about, you know, whether or not he's going to really make a substantial push for Rookie of the Year. So, and I think Jalen Green's got a really strong case, right? He's going to be a focal point of what the Houston Rockets are going to try and do this season. He's going to put up astronomical numbers. It's going to be exciting to watch him play, to thrive in a Houston Rockets jersey. The one caveat that I have, and the one thing that might hold him back as well as might be holding back his backcourt partner in Kevin Porter Jr. from an award that he might potentially be seeking, is sharing reps and minutes with John Wall, unfortunately. Now, thankfully, we've already seen that Jalen Green has a willingness and an ability to operate both with the ball in his hands as well as operating off ball. So his, you know, sharing of the court with John Wall doesn't bother me nearly as much as it does, because I don't think it's going to inhibit Jalen Green nearly as much as it potentially does, and as we've already seen at the back half of last season, as it does with Kevin Porter Jr., because Jalen Green has that ability to play off ball. He's got a better, more consistent three-point shot already, and he's, you know, seemingly very comfortable operating off ball, coming off screens, allowing, you know, defenses to, or, you know, attacking defenses before he actually has the ball set in his hands and making his moves, you know, with the ball. So when it comes to Jalen Green, I think he's got a great shot at Rookie of the Year. And this might just be, you know, kind of remedial. Some of you, well, of course he's got a great shot at Rookie of the Year. No, but I just want to highlight that he's got a shot, what I think his competition is, and the fact that I don't think John Wall is going to be a detriment to Jalen Green's Rookie of the Year campaign. Now, there was a little bit of an inkling, a teensy little belief that Alperen Şengün, depending on how many reps he could get. I remember Chad Ford kind of coming out and saying that, you know, Alperen Şengün might be a guy that could be in play for Rookie of the Year, like a sneaky little like fourth or fifth guy, depending on how many reps he gets. I would be wholly shocked if he winds up getting that much burn behind the likes of Christian Wood and Daniel Theis to be able to really push for Rookie of the Year. But he is another guy that will be vying for a potential award, as well as Jalen Green, when it comes to the all-rookie first team as well as all-rookie second team. We want to dive into that a little bit, as well as the other big award that I've got on my mind that I already kind of mentioned with Kevin Porter Jr. We'll get there after a quick message from our friends over at Sweatblock. Because look, when it comes to sweat, nobody likes to sweat, right? Unless you're, you know, working up a good sweat at the gym. Sure, that's awesome. But when you're out and about, going through your day, running errands, you know, business meetings, maybe you're going out with some friends, going on a first date, whatever it may be, right? Nobody likes to sweat. It can be embarrassing. It can cause anxiety. It's, you know, nerve-wracking, all of this, right? You can stop that with Sweatblock. It's doctor-created, doctor-recommended, works for up to 7 days per application. They have a dry shirt guarantee. So if you put it on and you still sweat through your shirt, they will give you your money back 100%, no questions asked, all of that. It's featured and tested by real firefighters on the Rachel Ray Show, which, hey, if it works for firefighters, it's going to work for you, right? And it's worked for me. Right? I live in Houston, right? Born and raised, Bayou City. And the humidity here is unbearable. It's tough, like all of that, right? You just put the sweat block on and then you're good for up to 7 days. You go throughout your day, put it on the night before, and then wake up the next day, shower, get dressed, put your makeup on, all this stuff, right? It doesn't, you know, it doesn't negatively impact you at all. All it does is stop the sweat right here where it's really embarrassing, right? It's stronger and more effective than most clinical antiperspirants. You just put it on and then you're good to go for up to 7 days, and you can check it out. So if somebody, whether it's you or someone you love is dealing with this and, you know, doesn't have an answer yet, you can check it out and get 20% off at sweatblock.com with promo code LOCKEDON. It's also available at Amazon and CVS. So again, 20% off at sweatblock.com. And another message from our friends over at DirecTV, because look, does this sound familiar, right? You've got one device that lets you, you're watching the game live. You got another one that's going to stream your favorite shows. You got sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for, you know, some of your other streaming devices, right? Because you're not paying for everything all out of your own pocket. There's a simple way to get all the entertainment that you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called Direct Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion, all the logins, all the passwords, and get your TV together with Direct TV Stream. You can learn more at directtv.com. That's directtv.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Rolling along here, and the next little piece that I want to talk about before diving into KPJ is, again, the all-rookie teams. Where I stand is I think that if Jalen Green is firmly in the discussion for Rookie of the Year, which I think, again, he's got a very solid shot, because ultimately I think it's going to come down to a three-man race of Cade Cunningham, Jalen Green, and Jalen Suggs, and then ultimately devolve into a two-man race between Cade Cunningham and Jalen Green. If he's in the running for Rookie of the Year, he's going to make all rookie first team. So I think we're looking at two different sets of honors for Jalen Green this upcoming season. But then when it comes to Alperen Şengün, who unfortunately for Josh Christopher and Usman Garuba, I just don't necessarily see them getting enough reps to make it to one of the all-rookie first or second teams, unfortunately. But with Şengün, I think he's going to be the Rockets' kind of third big in the rotation behind Wood and Tice. And depending on if he's getting a solid, you know, 20, 25 a night, there's a distinct possibility that he might be able to come away, you know, and at least make all rookie second team and possibly make a push for all rookie first team, really depending on, you know, what his numbers look like. And I think if you're looking at kind of a de facto all rookie first team, if you're just basing it off of like the top part of the draft, you can probably just go down the line with the first five draft picks, right? And you're going Cade, Jalen Green, Evan Mobley, Scotty Barnes, and Jalen Suggs. And I don't think anybody would have a problem with that being your consensus all-rookie first team, depending on what kind of numbers those guys are putting up. But if Scotty Barnes is potentially playing in a reserve role coming off the bench for the Toronto Raptors, and Alperen Şengün is doing the same for the Houston Rockets, then there's a distinct possibility that numbers-wise, Şengün might be able to put up sizable enough numbers to make a play for potentially all rookie first team. But again, there's a handful of other rookies out there as well. I think Şengün is definitely going to be in play for those two spots though as well. Not so much Christopher or Garuba, unfortunately. Now that brings me to Kevin Porter Jr. and the award that he might be in play for, which is Most Improved Player, an award that we were vying for one Christian Wood this past season. And I've seen some Rockets fans kind of throwing it out there that maybe Christian Wood could be in the running for Most Improved again. I'm of the belief that that's going to be a bit of a stretch, if only because with Christian Wood, I mean, this past season he averaged 21, 9.6, 1.7. So 21 points, 9.6 rebounds, 1.7 assists. I think it's really tough to expect Wood to have a leap that is going to eclipse those numbers enough so to the point that he would warrant Most Improved Player consideration. Unfortunately, last year was his year to be in the running for Most Improved, and unfortunately, due to the ankle injury, due to the 17 games he missed, you know, due to not quite having the same explosion burst when he came back from injury, he kind of fell out of the running, right? So it's nothing against him. Stuff happens. And it sucks that we didn't have that to be able to really push for. It was great that we were still able to push for Jayshon Tate, all rookie first team. And that was kind of the one feather in our cap last season, cheering for the Rockets, and the one thing we were really getting to kind of push for. And that was fun to have. This upcoming season, we'll have a little bit more on the table as far as awards and campaigns and agendas to try and push as the season progresses. And for Kevin Porter Jr., I do think most improved is a possibility. However, I have concerns. And those concerns stem from the fact that, one, so far we only have a 26-game sample size of Kevin Porter Jr. And in those 26 games, Kevin Porter Jr. averaged 16.6 points, 3.8 rebounds, and 6.3 assists. That said, that's pretty solid, right? You know, after he, you know, missed the first part of the season, went down to the G League bubble, torched it down there, was the leading scorer, absolutely dominated alongside, you know, future Rockets teammates KJ Martin and Armoni Brooks. It was exciting. We were tuning into Vipers games more than we were tuning into Rockets games at one point, or more excited for Vipers games than we were Rockets games. And he came up and joined the Rockets post All-Star break, and it was a revelation, right? Seeing him play in an actual Rockets jersey. The concern has stemmed from previously him having to share the court and share primary ball handler duties with one John Wall, because John Wall takes reps and shots and practice attempts and all that away from Kevin Porter Jr. Unfortunately, and KPJ is not as readily equipped to operate off ball as Jalen Green is. Now, I will say that with the teensy grain of salt, because we've seen Kevin Porter Jr. putting in a tremendous amount of work this offseason, right? KPJ's absolutely been working his tail off this offseason. So if he comes in with a better three-point shot, with an ability, you know, if he comes in and he's suddenly, you know, at a 35, 36, 37% clip from behind the arc, then suddenly those worries of KPJ needing to operate off ball when John Wall's on the court are just dust in the wind. Because right now, or this past season, I should say, the issue was Kevin Porter Jr.'s outside shot was just not consistent enough, to the point where there were opportunities where he was passing up outside looks, where he wasn't, you know, you could tell the confidence wasn't there in his shot, where he'd pass up an outside look in favor of driving it in or passing it to the next guy, things like that, right? And if you're playing off ball, or if you've got somebody else who's, you know, got the primary creator responsibility in John Wall, then when you're passing up those opportunities to shoot wide open threes because you're not confident in your shot, you're kind of cluttering up the offense a little bit and kind of bogging things down. I do think Kevin Porter Jr. has that ability, and I'm really excited to see where his shot profile is this upcoming season. But in addition to just his ability to play off ball from John Wall, taking those reps away from him, he's going to need a statistical jump. Like, he's going to need a boost in his numbers to be considered for most improved. And again, we already went over his previous numbers, 16.6, 3.8, 6.3. He's going to need a significant jump in each of those categories to be considered for most improved. Let's throw it out there, though. When he was officially handed the keys to the offense, he had a little 5-game sample size before he was shut down for the remainder of the season, where he averaged 21, 4, and 7 on 50, 38, 70 shooting splits. So 50% from the floor, 38% from three, 70% from the charity stripe. So that instills a lot of confidence in Kevin Porter Jr.'s ability once he's given the keys to the offense and he doesn't have to share it with John Wall. I did an episode this past season where we broke down the numbers for Kevin Porter Jr. when he has his highest usage rate games versus his lowest usage rating games. And when KPJ's usage rate is in the, you know, when it's near the bottom, when it's his worst usage rating games, God, talking is hard. When his usage rating is low, he struggles, because he's a guy that is very much about his rhythm. He's about his rhythm. He's about his reps. You can tell that when he's out there and he's able to just, you know, get into his rhythm dribbles and kind of lull defenders to sleep and really kind of feeling his game out, that's when he's at his best. He's not necessarily a guy that seems entirely comfortable operating off ball the same way that we've seen little glimpses from Jalen Green of operating off ball. So again, that instills a lot of confidence moving forward that KPJ could very well be in the running for most improved, but there's some question marks there as to whether or not John Wall's play and kind of the reps that he's going to take away on the court are going to impact KPJ's eventual campaign for trying to win possible most improved player of the year award. And some of the names right off the top of my head of guys that, you know, are probably also going to be vying for most improved and could, you know, potentially make a jump this season and make some serious noise. You got Michael Porter Jr., who, you know, could have maybe had an argument for most improved last season, honestly. OG Anunoby, Darius Garland is another good name to think of. Jaren Jackson Jr. would be another one to keep an eye on, especially with Jonas Valanciunas moving away from the Grizzlies. You know, they could be looking to get Triple J a little bit more involved offensively, especially. So, you know, and he's kind of at that point in his career where he should be poised to take a little bit of a statistical leap. So just some names to consider that KPJ might be, you know, a kind of fighting against for this potential award. So wanted to cover my bases there and tackle those awards. There's not really, would love to say Christian Wood might be able to push for an all-NBA team. I don't necessarily see it, especially mainly just because he's going to be fighting for it as a forward, as a center. I mean, he'd have to put up some astronomical numbers to potentially be pushing for an all-NBA team nod. If it happens, cool. I don't think it's in the realm of realism, unfortunately, though. And then there's not many other awards this upcoming season that the Rockets really have a shot for. Sixth Man of the Year, probably not going to be a thing. Look, I know it'd be a fun way for EG to go out on a high note and win it. I don't think it's going to happen. And then you look at the other ones, you know, DPOY, MVP, some of those other awards, those aren't going to happen. And Coach of the Year, I mean, if the Rockets maybe like make that push, right, as many fans are hoping and praying for, that they actually make a push for the play-in tournament, then maybe, you know, see Stephen Silas is in the running for a Coach of the Year nod, and that would be an exciting storyline. I still don't believe that's the direction that this team is heading, but I try to keep myself, grounded in a little bit of realism and a healthy dose of skepticism at times. But like I've said before, I would love to be proven wrong. So coming up, I want to talk a little bit about what's going on with Rich Paul and just a little bit of karmic retribution for the Houston Rockets and Daryl Morey. Going on with Daryl Morey, I guess, not the Houston Rockets and Daryl Morey. And we'll get there after a quick message from our friends over at Built Bar. Because look, they got so many amazing protein bar flavors over at Built Bar. And if you've never had a protein bar that you actually care about, you got to check out Built Bar. These flavors are amazing. You got raspberry, mint chocolate brownie, salted caramel, strawberry, cookies and cream. Cannot go wrong with a single flavor on their menu. Every single bar is low-cal, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. Great if you're on a keto diet. Great if you're trying to lose some weight. Great, you know, if you're just trying to hit your protein goals for the day, right? And they're not, the thing about these bars is they're basically candy bars that are jam-packed with protein. They're not gritty or chalky like some other protein bars on the market. I look forward to eating my Built Bars, right? I got boxes of them stacked up on my counter right over there. And you can check it out too if you're interested. Just visit builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your very first order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at builtbar.com. And another message from our friends over at betonline.ag, because football is right around the corner. College and pros, right? And BetOnline's also got you covered for the rest of baseball season. They've got you covered for UFC and MMA. And hey, we are 50 calendar days away from the start of the NBA basketball season, the 2021-2022 NBA season. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. You can get all the updated news, odds, and info over at betonline.ag. And if you use promo code LOCKEDON, you will get a 100% welcome bonus on your very first deposit. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, for a 100% welcome bonus on your very first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. Now, this last little segment that I wanted to touch base on, And this is more just, again, you know, I'm taking a little bit of pleasure in this, as I have before when the discussions have come up surrounding, you know, what went on with the James Harden trade return package, and should the Rockets have traded for Ben Simmons, and should the Rockets make a play for Ben Simmons now, and all this stuff, right? And right now, what's going on with Ben Simmons, first off, represented by Rich Paul, who quick TLDR with Rich Paul and the Nerlens Noel situation, which I tackled last week on Locked On NBA. Rich Paul is basically, it was, you know, doing a poor job of representing Nerlens Noel, not taking calls of teams that were, you know, possibly interested in him, all this stuff. And the Houston Rockets were one of those teams that tried to reach out to Nerlens Noel to try and, you know, procure his services as an NBA center. And it kind of tracks with the fact that the Rockets were interested in trading for Nerlens Noel at one point in time. So not only were they interested in signing him before the season started, ultimately he settled on a deal with the OKC Thunder. And then later on, the Rockets still tried to pursue him, but because the Thunder were making a playoff push, the Thunder decided not to trade Nerlens Noel to the Rockets. And we got PJ Tucker for 49 and a half minutes at the center spot. I just want to clarify. I know that it's only 48 minutes in a game. I was making a joke. But running PJ Tucker into the absolute ground as a 6'5" center, one of the greatest centers in Rockets history. Past that. So Rich Paul, there's a lot of issues going on there. And Nerlens Noel has filed a lawsuit against Rich Paul because of that, because he feels that he, you know, has suffered damages and lost, you know, up to $58 million so far, or is seeking up to $58 million in lost damages, lost wages due to Rich Paul's negligence. And now you got Ben Simmons, you got all this stuff going on with the Sixers, where Ben Simmons, reportedly by Keith Pompey, a fellow Locked On host over at Locked On Sixers, reporting that Ben Simmons isn't going to report to training camp, that he is just done with the 76ers franchise organization. He wants out. And who can blame him? The Sixers have tried to trade him so many times. They've constantly chosen Joel Embiid over Ben Simmons, which, hey, rightfully so, right? Embiid's, you know, was the runner up for MVP this last season. Playing absolutely out of his mind, is their franchise, right? Ben Simmons was never going to be the guy over Embiid, and it's just a clunky fit, unfortunately, between those two guys. So who can blame him for not wanting to come back, for being upset with the way this organization has treated him, for dangling his name constantly in trade talks? And I think it's just a little bit of, again, karmic retribution that Daryl Morey tried to play hardball with the Houston Rockets, had a chance to, you know, acquire James Harden, however real that chance may have been, or maybe Rafael Stone was only ever using Philadelphia as leverage, you know, when it came to the Brooklyn Nets. Maybe that was his goal the entire time, was to just, you know, utilize that relationship there with Daryl Morey and engage them in talks to continue to get Brooklyn to up their trade package until it was the maximum possible return. However, it's not like Daryl Morey couldn't have coughed up a few more first round picks, right? It's not like that package wasn't on the table. And had he not been playing hardball when it came to a couple future firsts and Tyrese Maxey of all people, then maybe he wouldn't be in this predicament where he's got a star player in Ben Simmons who cannot shoot the ball, who wants out, and absolutely no leverage. And then on top of that, Rich Paul represents Ben Simmons. He also represents Tyrese Maxey. And he's actually advising Tyrese Maxey to cancel community events and things that he had slated going on in the Philadelphia area, because he doesn't want Tyrese. He basically wants Tyrese Maxey included in whatever deal is, you know, in whatever deal is constructed to ship out Ben Simmons, which, again, this is just wild. The two should not be related to one another. And it just becomes another bullet point in what's going on with Rich Paul and Clutch Sports and how they're handling their clients, which, I get it, player empowerment, Ben Simmons doesn't want to be there. But to kind of, you know, throw Tyrese Maxey into the fire as well, and kind of, he's over here catching strays when he should be, no, just, all right, you know, you do you, still do the community events, right? Establish your roots in Philly, you know, don't worry about it. We're not going to force you into being traded somewhere else just in your sophomore year because Ben Simmons is upset. That's kind of a weird angle to take. And I'm really interested to see how it all plays out. And frankly, I'm kind of entertained by this all, right? Daryl Morey kind of brought this upon himself, and now he's in a position where he has zero leverage. Star player wants out, and guess what? He was almost in this position before, so it's like he dodged the bullet for about a year, and now he's got to deal with it. So I'm you know, reveling in this, again, karma for just, you know, it's a little sweet, to be able to see how this is playing out for the 76ers. So I'm interested in where Ben Simmons ultimately lands, especially if he's not going to report to training camp. I think that's going to be a great storyline to follow. And I just wanted to tackle it a little bit here because, again, there's a lot of Rockets fans that, are not so fond of the way that Daryl Morey left the team and, do not hold him in the highest of regards in the way that he left the Houston Rockets franchise. So I figured I would toss that in as my little final piece here. Excited for the upcoming episodes. Later this week, we've got a very special guest joining us on our Thursday show. I won't spoil it, so just be sure to tune back in for that one. Fans of the 90s will love that show. And then we've got Ali Kambijani making his re-debut, joining us for some film breakdown on some of the Rockets rookies this upcoming Friday. So don't want to miss that show either. But for today's episode, that's going to do it. If you haven't yet, please consider subscribing to the brand new YouTube channel. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast. We are free and available on all platforms, Apple, Spotify, Google, Himalaya, the brand new Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts, free and available on every single platform. Please consider subscribing. We would sincerely appreciate it. But for today's episode, that's going to do it. As always, thank you so much for watching, for listening, and we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.